Hello, everyone. My name is Belle Rajewski-Samko, and welcome to my podcast. So, for this podcast, I really want to delve into the experiences of immigrants and the emotional aspects of their experiences. Because, as we can see from all of the material that we've read for our classes and just hearing other people's stories in real life, that everybody really has a different experience as people who've been migrants or refugees or are immigrants. Everyone's experience is so different, and the lives that they left before are so different, and the lives that they live now are completely different. So I really want to examine these different lives that people live and compare and contrast their experiences. So the book that I'm going to be focusing on and taking inspiration from and breaking down in this podcast is Travelers by Helen Habila, because I really loved all of the different stories and the raw emotional aspects that each of these stories had. So I am really interested specifically in this concept of loneliness within immigrants, and I'm not going to focus my entire podcast on that, but really, honestly, it's something that we don't talk about. People often forget about it and forget about that emotion that people are feeling, because when you think about it, you know, people who have immigrated, they come from a world filled with friends and family and have such a strong support system and this group of people that they connect to and things they enjoy doing. And then the circumstances change, and whatever forces them to migrate, the new place that they're in, they're left with a world filled with, you know, nameless neighbors and uninterested coworkers and just people that really don't care for them, don't understand them, don't know them. And of course, this isn't the case with everybody. You know, there are plenty of people who love the new place that they're in, but in the beginning, it can be extremely difficult for people. In a 2014 survey of immigrants in London, 58% said that loneliness was their most pressing problem. Another survey done by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, an organization that works with international students specifically, said that 70% of immigrants never set foot inside an American home, and only 40% have any significant relationships with Americans. There are so many reasons why immigrants and refugee populations experience such high levels of social isolation. I mean, you have the experience of some people have being ripped away from their world and dropped into another and being the minority when they were once the majority. You have to learn to relive a completely new life in a different way. And also, on top of that, refugees, by definition, have to experience great trauma generally. And that in itself can lead to various forms of mental health issues like depression or PTSD. And then when you add this isolation and add a rising hostility against immigrants, especially Muslim immigrants or immigrants of color, the alienation is just incredible. And it is no wonder that these extreme levels of loneliness are felt. I'm going to be looking at the novel Travelers by Helen Habila to bring examples of what I've been speaking about the different experiences of immigrants and how they vary greatly. I'll examine two specific characters and speak about their stories, and then after that, you'll hear an interview from my father, who is an immigrant himself, and he'll be talking about his story and how he eventually made his way from Poland to the United States. So, I am going to be specifically looking at Manu as a character from Travelers and looking at his section in his experience as being an immigrant in a different place. And specifically, I wanted to look at his dedication to going to Checkpoint Charlie's, his unwavering dedication that every Sunday him and his daughter go to try to find his wife and his son who they've been separated. And I just thought that this one specific section of the book, it's when he is going with his daughter and they thought that they saw Basma, his wife, in the crowd, and they realized that it wasn't her. And they just found this woman and were yelling to get her attention, and then they realized it wasn't her. And he says, passerbys looked casually at them and he wondered what they saw, a tired-looking man and a crying girl by the roadside, clearly foreigners, in their old and ill-fitting winter jackets. Mostly, though, they didn't see you at all. And I just thought that that passage completely demonstrated this idea that I was just talking about previously of people being completely lonely and, you know, having uninterested new people that they have no idea in these new places that they immigrated to, and the heartbreak in that. And you have versions of stories that these people, you know, his experience has been so, despite moving to have better opportunities, you know, and being in a more stable living situation, you have to deal with these complex emotions that are attached to it. Because a lot of people, it's not, I think this is also the issue of people who are really anti-immigration, don't understand that no one wants to leave their home. No one wants to be forced to leave their home, you know? And so people don't immigrate and become migrants or refugees because they just feel like it. They're forced into doing it. And I just think that that passage specifically just shows, like, they didn't even see you at all, you know, that of feeling invisible, but knowing you don't feel like you don't belong there. And it's just, you have experiences like that. And then in a bit, I will interview my father, whose experience is completely, completely different than, you know, Manu's within this section. You know, when you look on the opposite side of Manu, we also are reminded of Portia's dad, who it was written about that he developed a taste for exile, which I thought was really interesting, you know, because Portia begins telling the narrator the story about him writing about exposing the government of corruption and then going into exile in England, I believe, with his family, and that afterwards, when her and her mother wanted to come back, he didn't want to come back, and he stayed, and he enjoyed his life there and developed all of his friends. She spoke about how when she went to visit him, he always had writers and poets coming in and out of the house, and he was always busy, and he never wanted to come back. So we also have that difference between the stories of even just in a book, you know, when we have some people who are longing to be back with the people that they love, that they are with, when they were with them, they feel at home. But then with Portia's father, it's he doesn't want to be with them, and he's happy in his new place. So I just thought that that was even just interesting. Within the book, you can see all the different experiences and stories. It doesn't just stick to one narrative of being more saddened and upset and in like a negative emotional aspect, but it shows that the duality of it and everybody's different experiences. Coming right up, you'll hear from my father, Frank Samko, as he talks about his experience escaping Poland when the country was under Soviet occupation at just 18 years old. He reflects on his time in an Austrian refugee camp and discusses the relative ease he had immigrating to Canada. You'll also find out that he really wasn't quite lonely. More coming up, so tune in. Okay, so I am here with my dad, Frank. And my dad...
Hi, everyone.
He left Poland when he was 18 years old, when Poland was a Soviet Union satellite state. And a satellite state is basically a country that was formally independent, but now it's under heavy political, economic, and military influence or control from another country. So I'm going to be asking him a few questions about his experience and his story as an immigrant, and he first immigrated to Canada and then into the United States afterwards. Just to clarify so people understand. So my dad was born in Poland, and then at 6 years old, they moved to the Soviet Union. And then when he was 12, they moved back to Poland. So could you first tell me a little bit about your experience growing up in Poland? And then you also grew up in Russia a bit. So could you just talk about that and what the quality of life was like there?
Yes. Well, I grew up in Soviet Union. I was only six at the time when I arrived to Soviet Union. And I was heavily, heavily influenced by Soviet propaganda. So I grew up as a your Soviet Union citizen, which is a very unique type of a human being, was completely, totally brainwashed by the system. Then we went back to Poland and things changed drastically. At the time, all the communist countries were falling apart. The quality of life was, I guess, horrible. There were shortages of food. There were shortages of basic anything. And then the persecution of state was getting worse and worse and worse. And I guess I'm fortunate enough that I really never cared in my life for wealth and that sort of a thing. So it didn't really matter for me. And as it, life it is sometimes, the more you are brainwashed by a system, if you are smart enough, intelligent enough, then at some point in your life, you will realize that, oh my God, I have lived through the worst of the worst. So at the age of 16, 17, when I started thinking for myself, it turned out that Soviet Union is not the greatest country in the world, that they are not the most wonderful place to ever be. So at that point, I already started thinking about maybe I should live somewhere else.
So was it you that started having the idea? Because you left with two of your brothers.
Yes. Well, I have two of my brothers. So we, there's only a very few years difference between us. We're pretty much the same age. So all of us started kind of thinking about that. And we thought this for certain there must be a better life somewhere than in these places. And we also thought, we were certain of it, that the communists in all those countries will be there forever.
My dad then went on to explain how the planning of their departure took a lot of time, but it took even more courage.
Because no person, no matter how brave you are or curious about seeing other places on this planet, is going to make that decision lightly. Because you leave everything behind you.
I asked my dad to retell the story about how he escaped Poland. He spoke about the corruption of the Soviet Union and how it was fairly easy for him to cross the borders.
The corruption had a completely different meaning what it is from today. I mean, and dishonesty in all these countries, that kind of system, communist system, is just perfect for dishonesty and corruption. And with a few dollars, you could bribe anyone, because people had such horrible lives that any amount of dollars, especially American dollars, would just open up these huge gates. Of course, we were scared, all of us. We were just a young, sort of an innocent young boys. Imagine of your age, if you're listening, if you're in your 20 or something like that, and then trying to find, being uncertain, being sure that if we get caught, you ended up in prison. You may end up in prison in Soviet Union, and all your life would be completely wasted. But we were fortunate and lucky enough to get to an Austrian border where we asked for political asylum.
My father and his brothers were granted political asylum at a refugee camp near Vienna in Austria. My dad has very fond memories of the refugee camp. It was very safe, very clean, and the staff were very kind. They were given 3 meals a day, a small stipend, and foreign language classes were available to all the refugees. If you wanted to work, the refugee camp staff helped find you a job too. So my dad was hired by a company that set up tents for events. So this way he was able to travel all around Europe, which was really eye-opening for someone who had spent their life behind the Iron Curtain. It's really jarring how drastically different my father's experience at his refugee camp in Austria was compared to the experience of the narrators and travelers at the refugee camp that he was at, because that refugee camp on a small island off of Italy was, quote, never a pretty sight. Some had feet rotting in their wet shoes, some had shit and vomit caked to their skin and hair, some were delirious with fright from being trapped between dead bodies for days in the boat, end quote. People were cracking under PTSD, and one man who, quote, hanged himself in one of the bathrooms. Another woman went crazy and started screaming for no reason around the camp. She was subdued, but that night she stabbed herself to death. Another man managed to scale this fence and threw himself into the waves. He drowned immediately, end quote. I shared this with my dad, and we talked about the current state of immigration affairs in the world, specifically in the United States, which was happening at the Mexican border. And we talked about how drastically different his immigration experience was compared to other people's who are really struggling now more than ever. We see it in the media. And he said that the world was really different at the time of his immigration, and that when he revisited his refugee camp 40 years later, he was taken aback by how different it was.
I was actually shocked when I saw it. It was a very depressing sight to me. Absolute majority of people that were there were from Arab countries, and it was nothing like I remember what it was. And then also when I see immigrants that are trying to get into the United States from Mexico border, it breaks my heart, because all these people are just regular people like myself, like any one of us, and they just would like to have a better life. Or for whatever reason, they like to emigrate, and that is not available for them. And the suffering that they have to
endure,
is nothing like what I had. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful for what I had. And it's a short period of time, but yet such tremendous differences. And I don't know what would I say if I had to deal with being hungry, being locked up, being looked upon as I'm some kind of a criminal or evil person. Mm. So unfortunately, the world has changed drastically in that respect.
And it's really disgusting, too, to look at how differently the West in general, you know, European countries, United States, Canada, look at immigrants that are from, you know, European countries coming into the United States. You know, our president doesn't care if we have, you know, whatever, Italian immigrants or, you know, whatever, British immigrants. But as soon as it's a person of color or somebody from African immigrants or from Central America, the treatment is completely different.
Yes, and that is completely disgusting. And I would hope that it may change someday, because every single person that lives in America is an immigrant without an exception. At some point in history, everybody came to this country with their hopes and dreams. And why should it be different now? But unfortunately, it is.
Lastly, I wanted to ask my dad about this idea of loneliness that I'm so interested in. One thing that has always stuck with me from my father's story is that he couldn't tell his parents or sisters that him and his brothers were leaving because it would put them too at risk of persecution with the authorities. He couldn't contact them for a very, very long time to ensure their safety. That would be very difficult for me to do, so I was trying to sympathize and put myself in his shoes, and I asked him if he ever experienced homesickness when he arrived to Canada, knowing that he couldn't contact them or couldn't be home. And I asked him if he ever felt lonely. I also wondered if he ever felt conflicted at times of missing his home dearly, but also being in an incredible new place of freedom. My dad replied that everything was far too interesting and new for him to be preoccupied by feelings of sadness. However, he stressed that he has always loved to be alone, and the notion of loneliness is foreign to him. And this rings true still today. My dad is very content with just completely being by himself, so I guess that's always how he's been. And he said his brothers were very similar in the same way, that just compared to what he has experienced before and the place that he was in Canada, in this brand new world where everything was big, and he said he was making so much money, he felt, compared to what he was making in Poland, that he was just in awe of everything and was very happy to be able to live in freedom. So I guess it really depends on the circumstances of where you come from and where you go to and your outlook on it. Also, I know that my father had stressed his privilege of being able to immigrate easily. So of course, with other situations, people who have experienced far worse journeys and more difficult traumas that have happened, of course, their experiences and their outlooks on their immigration story is going to be vastly different. Lastly, I'm going to leave you with a quote from Helen Habila. Reflecting on his process of writing The Travelers, he said, quote, "It's important to see the migrants as individuals. Everyone sees them as a menace or as a statistic. Nobody even sees them. For my subjects, for them to tell their story and to be listened to, I could see their satisfaction. Somebody is seeing me. I am not just a migrant. I am a father, I have a wife, I have a life, I am this person. But you don't know why they're coming to Europe. You don't know why they gave up their homes, their dreams, their lives. Some of them were actually happy back home, but sometimes you have to leave home." End quote. I urge everybody listening to reflect on this podcast and truly think about the hardships that all immigrants have endured, whether their experiences were easy or difficult, and think about that all the emotions that come with a journey like theirs. Really, thank you for listening, and I enjoyed making this podcast. Thank you.